Okay. Nice. Everybody, please mute themselves. Everybody mute. Let me help you all out. Everybody mute. Okay. So we're on Daf Ayin Gimel today. I'll begin on Ayin Beis and Beis 72B, three lines on the bottom. Everybody with me? So we said in the Mishnah, we just Mishnah on Monday. The Mishnah said, "Be'elu Nishalim Be'ur Metumim." So the Mishnah described the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol, and Mishnah said that with those begadim, you can ask the Urim and Tumim. The Urim and Tumim, the Kohen Gadol wears the Choshen, and there's a way for him to ask questions from a Kaddish Baruch Hu and get responses through the Urim and Tumim, which we'll discuss later on. Okay? So let's take a look in the Gemara. Be'elu Nishalim Be'ur Metumim. Kiyat Rav Dimi, Abba, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, and in the Gemara, it's usually Rav Dimi and Rabin come from Eretz Israel. Usually they quote Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara is going to say later on that Rav Dimi here was quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Dimi said the begadim that a Kohen Gadol does avod in the Beis Mikdash, which are the eight begadim which the Mishnah went through and we discussed. Meshulf Malkama is the Kohen who's anointed and addresses the troops when they go to war. At the end of Parshat Shoftim, the Torah describes it, and he says, you know, who's married and who built a house and who built a, and had a kerem and who is Yarei Barach Alevav to lead the war. And but anyway, that's the Meshulat Malchama. So he also can do a voter with those eight begadim. Shneimar v'deah kodesh shirli Aaron yulvan avacharav. He says the big day of Kodesh, the holy garments that will be for Aaron, Yulabanav will be for his children, Achrav. So the Gemara takes it, the word Achrav is superfluous. In Lami Shabbat, Gedula Achrav. The way the Gemara understands it is the one who's like secondary to him in Kedusha, in position. That's the Meshuach Baltama. Okay, just give me 1 second. So the Gemara says two lines from the bottom. Mati Rabbat Barava. So Rabbat Barava asks the Pasha. But Amri Lakhdi, another site was asked anonymously. Sometimes in other places Rashi says he could be a shame Hakam, but here he says here it typically means without attribution. And here's a quote from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Yeho Yeho Bino Shamashut Matam Shamish Tatav, there Shino Shal Kodom Shamish Tatav. I might have thought excuse me. I might have thought that the son of Meshuach Malchama will take over for him, like the son of the Kohen Gadol takes over for him. The top line on Gimel Aleph, Tamal Omar, Shabbat Mimil Basham HaKohen Tachtav Libanav, Asher Yavol Omoed. So 7 days, the Kohen, Mimil Basham HaKohen Tachtav Libanav, the Kohen that takes over from his sons, that comes to Omoed. Mishru Labo Omoed, and it refers to, in other words, it says, It says B'dei Kosher Ashli Aron Yulabanav Acharav, and then it says Shabbat Yimin L'Shama HaKohen Tachav Ibanav Ashir Olam Oed, that his son who takes over after him will wear it. So he says that the verse says the Bryce says Mishru Lavo Olam Oed, that the one who's Ru'i to come to Olam Oed, in other words, the one who could go in the Kodesh Kadashim with these big day Kahuna, he'll take over for his father. The Shuch Malchama apparently, you know, can't go to the Kodesh Kedashim. V'mi'ita mechsechazi. So if it would be Meshuach Malchama where the eighth begadim, then the Meshuach Malchama could also be in a situation where he could go to the Kodesh Kedashim. But the Gemara's drasha is that only the Kohen Gadol could go there, not the Meshuach Malchama. But that would be the Bikasha against Rav Dimi's Halacha. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kafi Kamar. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, this is what the Pasuk means and the Braisa means, it means his main anointment is to do service in Olam Oed. He says, yes, with the Kohen Meshuach Malchama, yeah, he's anointed, and in Achinam, he can wear the eight begadim, but his main purpose is to serve in the Malchama. So when the Pasuk says that we're talking about the Kohen, who someone will take over after him, he's the one who comes to Olam Oed, it doesn't mean that the Meshuach Malchama can't wear the eight begadim. It means that the Pasuk is addressing itself to the one whose main job is to serve in Olam Oed, the Kodesh Kedashim, as opposed to Meshuach Malchama. His main job is on the field of battle. Let me just do a few more lines, and then I'll pause. Nefe, then we ask another kasha against Rav Dimi's halacha, and this is from a long brisa, and let us be patient. Meshuach Malchama ein meshamesh. Meshuach Malchama ein meshamesh lo ba'arba kohen hedyot. He doesn't serve with the four begadim like a kohen hedyot. This is shorter brisa, and the longer one's coming up. He says, with four begadim, the low b'shmona kohen gadol, nor with the one with eight begadim like the kohen gadol. That's what the b'raisa said. the Gemara says, so it's certainly a kash against Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi said he wears the eight begadim when he does a voda. So Amar li Abaye ela zarm shavit lei. So Abaye says what? So he's like a non-kohen. He can't serve with eight begadim. Can't serve with four begadim. What's left? Ella becoming gadol mishum eva. That meaning on a deraisa. So the Gemara is deflecting kasha. In other words, the Gemara is saying inachinami mishuch mokama on a din Torah would wear the eight begadim, but rabbinically they said he shouldn't wear the eight begadim because the eva will lead to hostility between him and the kohen gadol. Like he, the kohen gadol's got eight begadim, and he and the other one's got eight begadim. He's going to lead to hostility between them. The kohen head note, and he can't go with the four begadim. Once he's been elevated and he's elevated to the Mishuf Malkama, we're not going to knock him down back to the old level. Okay? So far we've, again, Rav Dimi said the halakha that the Mishuf Malkama wears eight begadim when he does a vote in the base of Mikdash. And we said the Gemara is going to say that's from Rav Yochanan. The Gemara is asking questions against him, but we've been able to deflect the questions. Okay, let me pause for a minute and take questions, comments, and thoughts. Anybody questions, comments, and thoughts at this end in the live end? How about this side?
What avoda is this kohen doing?
So whatever avoda he would want to do. In other words, every kohen gets to do avoda, right? You want to be part of a mishmar, you get to do avoda. So if the time would come for him to do avoda, so he would do it. Though the next price will address a little bit what you're talking about. But he's not less than a regular kohen. So when he does avoda, he would wear the begadim. All right.
Says Midor Vad is Madei Milchamayim. And
Madei Milchamayim, he says.
Yes, because the only time it mentioned the word Madim in Israel is uniform.
Right.
So he said that it's when there is a Milchama with Yod and Tzuya, and he is, you know, they're all wearing Madim.
In other words, what you're saying, the Baal Turim says that Pasuk is referring to the Mishuch Malkama, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right? Right.
I'll show it to you.
All right, I have to see it inside. Okay, let's take
a look. Can he go to Ohel Moed or not?
In other words, the Gemara thought that he could go to the Kodesh Kodashim,
right?
And then he needs the Eight Begadim for it. But the Gemara just said on a Deraisa level, the Gemara said he could wear the Eight Begadim, but on a Drabanan level, he's precluded from wearing the Eight Begadim because he felt it would lead to hostility between him and the Kohen Gadol. So without the Eight Begadim, he's certainly not going to go in the Kodesh Kodashim. But a regular Kohen can go into the Kodesh, and he shouldn't be less than that. But we'll see how this plays out, okay?
Got it. I mean,
the Gemara said that he can't wear eight begadim, he can't wear four begadim, so he's really out the door at this point in time, right? In other words, he can't wear eight begadim, the Gemara, the Brisa said, because of leaf hostility, and the four begadim because we can't lower him down. So in the end, he ends up really nowhere.
Nowhere.
Okay, now, please, everybody mute themselves. So we're eight lines before it gets wide. So Amalei Rabada Bar Abba Rava Bahai Tana Delet Le'eva. So now we said that the reason he doesn't wear eight begadim, the way we explained the brisa in order to reconcile Rav Dini's halacha, is that on Torah level he wear eight begadim, but it's just a din rabbanan because of eva. So he says Bahai Tana Delet Le'eva. The following Tana we're going to see doesn't utilize the concept of, is not concerned with the concept of eva ostensibly. And he says, nevertheless, he says that the Mishuch Malkama will not wear eight begadim. This is going to be a kasha against Rav Dimi. Again, Rav Dimi says that the Mishuch Malkama wears eight begadim when he does a voda, but then we qualified it. We said it did Rabbanah because of hostility he doesn't. We'll see if this price is going to be stira. The Tanya, we learned the price is a long price. Let's be patient. The Tanya, the Varim Shebein Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hedyot, the distinctions between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot. Kohen Hedyot is like a grand bride Kohen. Harkwin Mashiach Huparbal Kol Mitzvot. So here, the Gra takes out the, when Rashi also, I think, they take out the first phrase, the same thing. It's the, only the Kohen Gadol, when he does an Aveira based on his erroneous ruling, he brings a special Korban. So only the Kohen Gadol has that special Korban. If you're a Garden Party Kohen, you bring a Korban Chatat like everybody else. I think Rashi says the Kizbo or Seira. Upar Yom HaKippurim. Only the Kohen Gadol can do the avoda with the Par Yom HaKippurim. and the tenth of Eifah, the Kohen Gadol, every day he brings the tenth of Eifah, Machasita B'Boker, Machasita B'Norvayim. Then, Lo Poreya B'Lo Poreim. The Kohen Gadol is not Porei, he doesn't let his hair grow long in Avelus. B'Lo Poreim, he doesn't do Kriya either in Avelus. About Poreim Humi L'Mata, but does do Kriya at the end of the garment, the Gemara says. By Hedyot Milamala, the Kohen Hedyot will do a regular Kriya. And when he says Kriya, it doesn't mean with the big day kahuna, it would mean with like with his regular with the God. Because we learned already, there's a lot of them from doing Kriya with the big day kahuna. The Ein Mitami L'Krovav, the Kohen Gadol is not Mitami for his probim, so it means even his Slav, Ibli Mola, the Chidlach Kotolo, each Mala and Avotam, I'm quoting the wrong Pasuk, but that was the Pasuk by the Nazir, but it's the same thing by the Kohen Gadol. He's not Mitami for his father and mother relatives. Umitsuva la Betula. He's commanded to only marry a Betula, only a woman who's never been married before. Umuzar Almana. He's admonished not to marry an Almana. Umatzir Harotzeh. With his death, the people in the Ir Miklat get to go home. Umakriv Onen. He can perform, this is unlike a regular Kohen, unlike he can perform a voda in the state of Aninos. This is Ve'inu Ofel, but he can't eat Kachim in the state of Aninos. Ve'inu Folek. And he can't get a portion of the state that voted during the day, assuming the Aninus is over at night. So then I think that's somewhat of a machloket. But even if the Aninus is over at night, he can't now get a portion from the vote he did earlier today in order to eat it now. If he couldn't eat it earlier, he'd just get the food later on. But in general, he always gets like the first cut of everything. He can offer whatever he wants. He can, bump everybody out. He does a voda with eight begotten. It's somewhat counterintuitively, if he enters the base mekdesh in the state of Tuma inadvertently, or he's kachim in the state of Tuma, so he's not chayv to bring a special korban. The whole avodot Yom Kippurim ain't kasher to the boat. And the whole avodot of Yom Kippur is only kasher with him. Okay, that's the Kohen Gadol. Then the Braisa says, we're around the tenth wide line on Ayin Gimel Manal. The fourth wide line. The Chulan Noagot Bebrui Begadim, that all of these halachot, Namrui Begadim means at a certain point in time, they didn't have the Shemana Mishka. In other words, the Kohen Gadol, every Kohen Gadol was anointed with the special Shemana Mishka that had been compounded by Moshe Rabbeinu. Then in time of Yoshe'el Melech, he stored it away. All the Kohen Gadol after them is not called, they're not Shemana Mishka, but they're called Merubi Begadim. They're wearing like a lot of Begadim. The Kulan Noah Gop and Merubi Begadim. So all these same dinam apply to Merubi Begadim, puts me par Baal Kor Mitzvot, except to bring the based on Limud, because I'll teach us that then he doesn't bring that special par for an erroneous ruling, which the Mezu would be Chayavei Kare. But here's the key line now. The Kula Noah Gaud Mashuach Sha'avar, that all of them applied Mashuach Sha'avar, meaning, let's say the Kohen Gadol became Tame and he wasn't able to do a voda. We need him for, so we're going to have somebody else who serve as the Kohen Gadol, or the Stan Kohen Gadol filling. But then, after the impairment is removed, the original Kohen Gadol gets the new Kohen Gadol again. So the Kula Noah Gaud Mashuach Sha'avar, so all of them apply to the Kohen Gadol who's been deposed. Is that Ilana? Nice to see you. Okay, those is farm over there. Okay. No, it's nice to have you. And it's a very nice set, and I hope it goes well for you and your husband. Yeah, hold it on the bottom. Hold it on the bottom. It's coming out. Okay. Okay, you got it. Okay, I'll see you all. All right, we don't want to have a drop. Okay. The Kula Noah Gaud Mashuach Sha'avar, they all apply to the Kohen Gadol who's been deposed. Chutzmi Par Yom HaKippurim Ba'Asirei Eifah. So he can't bring the party on the keeper, he can't bring the tenth Yefa, but he gets all the other perquisites. The Kulan ain't no go Meshul Malchama. None of these being applied by the Meshul Malchama, puts me Chamishad Vernal Murim Beparsha, except for the five things mentioned explicitly in the Pasuk, i.e., Lo Pareya Velo Pareim, that he doesn't grow his hair long in a Velus, he doesn't rent his garments, but we saw that at the end of the garment he would. Lo Matami the Krovav, he's not Matami to his close relatives. He's commanded to marry Betula, he's admonished not to marry Amana, and then Rabbi Yehuda, as Meshulch Malchama dies, the people get sprung from the Arei Miklat, The Chachamim will remain a master. According to the Chachamim, it doesn't do it. Now, the point in this Braisa is that we see that the Tana of the Braisa is not concerned with Eva, because here the Braisa says, Kulano got the Merube Begadim, that the Merube Begadim, I didn't say right. He says, Kulano got the Merube Begadim, right. So the Merubi Begadim, no, I'm sorry. The Kulano Gopa Beshuk Shavar, on the fifth line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, on the fifth line. Kulano Gopa Beshuk Shavar, in other words, let's say he was deposed, and now then he's reinstated as the Kohen Gadol. So the person, his understudy, who had filled in for him, so all the Dinim applied to him, even notwithstanding, and we're not going to be concerned for Ava. We're not going to be concerned for Ava. He says, so we see the Tana here is not concerned for Ava, for hostility. But nevertheless, the Tana says that the Meshuch Malachama doesn't wear the eight begotten. That's the way it sounds like. So let's see what the Gemara says here. So ki lately Ava b'tichbate b'tzutamine itlay. So the Tana will say that he doesn't hold that there's Ava when somebody's on the same level as me. In other words, the person who filled in in my position. Now he's not filling in with that position anymore. So there's not Ava. In other words, I'm not upset if he wears Ava begotten, because he had my position. I understand. I understand. He was a Kohen Gadol for a while. So he's it's like professional respect or whatever. But the Meshuch Malchama, he's like a notch lower than him. He's not a Kohen Gadol. If he walks around with Ava begotten, then I will have Ava for him. And that's the difference between them. So the point is, we've been able to deflect the questions we've had so far. And Rav Dini said, again, to repeat, I don't know if you did that very, Michael, but Rav Dini said that the Meshul Kothama, when he does a vote, wears eight begadim, like Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara has some cautions against him. So the Gemara ends up saying that on a Dereis level, we wear eight begadim, but on a Drabanan level, he wouldn't wear the eight begadim because we're afraid of hostility between him and Kohen Gadol. Okay, now let's see further in the Gemara on the 10th wide line, and then I'll pause in a few lines. We'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Yaakov Rabbi Abahu b'kamar Rabbi Hashmaita v'shmei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Abahu was seating and saying over this halacha from Rav Dimi, which is that Meshuch Malchama serves with eight begadim, and he said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And frequently Rabbi Dimi does quote halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Adrinu Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi l'payu. Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, they're turning their faces away, meaning they did not agree that Rabbi Yochanan had said that. Others say that Rabbi Hibar Abba was sitting and saying this halacha. And again, Rabbi Ami Rabasi turned the face of the way. So the Gemara says, according to the first lashon, that it was Rabbi Bahu made the statement that it was the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rabbi Ami Rabasi turned the face of the way. So I can understand why they didn't say anything, because Rabbi Bahu, he had a position, he was like close to the Beit Kesar. He was like, when they would deal with the Roman authorities, he was the contact person. So, and we looked at Rashi on the, around the sixth very wide line downstairs, these maids from the house of the Caesar would come out and sing to him. So when I say that they pursed their lips when he said it. El Rabbi Chiyah, back in the Gemara, El Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba, but Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba was the one who made the statement. So why were they quiet? They should have said, no, we don't agree. Rabbi Yochanan never made that statement. So that sounds like that it's slugging up the second lashon of Miyashiv, the first lashon, that indeed it was Rabbi Bahu made the statement that it was named Rabbi Yochanan, but they didn't agree with that. Now, let me just do a few more lines and then we'll pause. Kiata Rabin, now when Rabin, again, frequently goes together, Rabimi and Rabin. Kiata Rabin, when Rabin came from Israel, Amar Nishbal Itmar, said no. The statement was never that the Meshuch Malchama would wear the eight begadim. The statement was Nishbal Itmar, that the Meshuch Malchama could be a recipient of questions addressed to the Urim Betumim. That's what it means. Not just the Kohen Gadol, but also the Meshuch Malchama. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn the Brice. That means if the Meshuch Malchama, he'd wear the eight begadim, and wearing those eight begadim, including the Choshen, then he could take questions to the Urim Betumim. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a Brice that supports this. Begadim Shekohen Gadol Meshamish Bahen, the begadim that the Kohen Gadol serves in, which are the eight begadim, So too, the Meshulch Melchama is also, we pose questions to him. Okay, let's just summarize what we did and take questions, comes to thoughts. So the main thing we discussed was, we started off with Rav Dibi's statement. Rav Dibi's statement was that Meshulch Melchama does a photo with, when he does a photo of the Beis Hamikdash, he wears the eight begadim. That's the way we said it. And we asked some cautions against him, and it didn't sound like that was the case. So he says on a derisive level, he'd wear it, but on a Ravan level, he wouldn't wear it, because it would lead to hostility between him and the Kohen Gadol. Then the Gemara says that Rabbi Yibau said that really Rabbi Dimi, he had said this in the Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rabbi Rabasi didn't agree with that. They said Rabbi Yochanan never made the statement. Then we had a different version of it, and that was not Rabbi Dimi, but Ravin, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, he said the statement wasn't that that he serves with the eight begadim. The statement, in other words, if he does have one of the basic mitzvahs, he wears the big thing. Huna means that if he wears the eight begadim, then you can, that they can pose questions to him, to the Urim and Tumim, even though he's the Meshulch Melchama, not the Kohen Gadol. Okay, who's a question comes to us on anything we did so far? Everybody good in the cyber world? Okay. All right, I'm going to go on.
Very interesting process, by the way.
Right. All right. Okay, let's see further. Now, okay, we're around eight lines from the bottom. And again, part of his role is to like rally the troops and say that, you know, Hashem is like with you and you're going to conquer your enemies. And probably Simon Wolf was talking about this today. But let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Itmar. So Tani, this we did already. So Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we're eight lines to the bottom, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, we know the Braisa. Ketzad Shoalin. Now, regardless to the mechanics, how does one pose a question with the Urim and Tumim? So again, there's different ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks. So we have a Navi. So a Navi tells what a Kadosh Baruch Hu says. And then you have the Urim and Tumim. So Urim and Tumim is less than Nevuah, but it's more than Ruach HaKodesh, I would say. So it's between those two, between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. Okay? Let's see back in the Gemara. So Tanur Rabban, Ketzad Shoalin, Hashoa Panav Klapi Nishal. The one who's posing the question, he faces the Nishal. So let's say it's the Melech. Let's say the Melech, again, not anybody can pose the question. He said it's going to be Melech, or it's going to be, the Sanhedrin, but or somebody is going to be an important person asking questions. So let's assume the Melech is asking the question. So the Melech will face the Kohen Gadol. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, "Vahanishal panav klape shechina." The Nishal is facing the Shechina. So here's the Machloket Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi learns that the Nishal will be looking at the Choshen. In other words, klape shechina, but I guess God's presence is felt through the Choshen. And again, according to the Mefarshim, the Shema Meforash is put in the fold, the Ephod. That's the way Rashi learns. So according to Rashi, they're facing one another. So let's say if Oded would be the Shoel and I would be the Kohen Gadol, we'd be facing each other, but I would be looking at Koshen. But the way the Rambam learns is different. The way the Rambam learns, the Kohen Gadol is facing the Aaron, and so the Shoel is facing the back of the Nifel. Okay? Let's see back in the Gemara. A Shoel Omer, the one who's asking the question, says, so should I pursue this detachment of enemy soldiers? And this, in fact, was a question that David HaMelech asked. I think he was facing the Amalekim at Siklag. So he said, should I pursue them? The Hanishal Omer, the Nishal says, the Nishal would say, for example, go and be successful. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain't Sirik Lamar Kumar Hashem. He doesn't have to say Kumar Hashem. It's understood. Now, when we pose the question, when the question is being propounded, you don't say it in a loud voice. He says, Shenemar b'sha'alo. So it says, b'sha'alo b'nfa'alim of Hashem. He will ask him, meaning only the Nishal should hear the question. The whole world doesn't have to ask him to say the question. But he's also asked it audible. He can't just think the question in his mind. Shenemar b'sha'alo b'nfa'alim of Hashem. It has to be the way the Chana in her tefillah, Shinemar v'chana, him dever al yiba. Now, it's a little tricky because Chana, we usually give that as the source that she said it so quietly that nobody could hear it. So it's certainly not, and this whole thing, we'll talk about it more al pi halacha, but it seems from this Gemara that it would be audible enough for the Kohen to hear the question. That's the way it seems like. So When you propound a question to the Urim v'Tumim, you don't say two things at once, one and two. He says, if you ask two questions, so Menashemayim, they only respond to one. And they only answer the first question, no subject to what the Gemara is going to say. Shneamar, and here the Gemara brings another example. Again, the first example was from David HaMelech. Here's another example from David HaMelech. This is when David HaMelech's on the land. Shaul and Elk is pursuing him, and David's going from town to town, place to place. So he's got Eviatar Cohen with him, and he says to him, he says, are the people in Keilah, are they going to, hold me captive to give me to Shaul? And then, is Shaul going to come? So he says, Vayomra Hashem Yireh. So Hashem says to him, he only answers one question, Shaul is coming. So the Gemara says, Va'amri Le'Maksir L'Rishon. But he just said that we only respond to the first question, and here he's responding to the second question, right? David HaMelech says, Hayaskini Ba'alai Ki'ilah. Are people in Ki'ilah going to hold me captive for Shaul? And then is Shaul going to come? So he says, Shaul's going to come, but that's the second question. Ela Rishon, Le'Maksir L'Rishon. So the Gemara says, David Sha'al, from page on Amadeus, David Sha'al Kishlo Tzeder. I mean, David HaMelech couldn't ask in the proper order. Proper order would have been, is Shaul coming here? And then if he comes here, are they going to hold me for it? So he says, Chzir Lo Tzeder. So it means he didn't ask in the proper order. But it says that we only asked the Rishon the question that should have been asked first. That's the one that's answered. The Kevin Shadash Sha'al Kishlo Tzeder, once David HaMelech realized that he hadn't asked in the right order, then he did ask in the proper order. Then he goes back. So it says, the first question, the answer is Shaul's coming. Then he says, are Bali Keilah going to hold me? He says, yeah, they are. So I don't, so that's the answer. All right, so that piece. Now, if circumstances are such, like it's an exigency, so then they'll answer both questions at once. He says, Shinemar, you have instantaneous answers. It's like in the middle of war, you need instantaneous answers. Shinemar, by Shal David Bashem Limor, David asks Hashem, this is going back to David with Siklag, I think it's the Amalekim that he's pursuing. Should I pursue this Gedud? Will I overtake them? So he's asking two questions. He says you'll be able to overtake them and save whoever you need to save. I think the Amalekim had taken people away. Now, even though the Navi, we said, is on a higher level, right? Nevuah is on a level than Urim Tumim in terms of, I think the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim lifts 10 levels. Anyway, so Nevuah, though, is higher than Urim Tumim. But notwithstanding that, the Nevuah and Navi can go back. In other words, not set in stone. So Navi gets Nevuah, and Rashi's example is on the second white line, Yonah ben Amittai. Like Yonah ben Amittai in Nineveh, the Nevuah comes down, in 30 days, Nineveh is going to be history. And then they did Shuva, and it got undone. But I remember, I think we learned in the Gemara, I think Gemara said, I remember when I was much younger, many years ago, like in seventh grade, but the Gemara says that Nineveh Nepachet could mean that they'll change. In other words, like do tshuva, they're different people. But anyway, but that Zerat Urim Tumim in a Chozeret. The Zerat from the Urim Tumim, that's never undone. In other words, that's going to be permanent. Shenemar B'mishpat HaUrim. It's called B'mishpat, the law of the Urim. In other words, the one that gives a Mishpat, that's the Mishpat. So the same thing, Mishpat HaUrim. You know, there's a Rev Simon in the Sefer, he quotes from I guess it's in Parshas Tetzaveh. So it says that this is Racha B'Samach B'Livo by Aaron HaKohen, Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu's brother. So it says that that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to, go to greet Aaron, and Hashem says Racha B'Samach B'Livo. When he sees you, he's going to be happy. Even though Aaron was the older brother, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the younger brother, and Moshe Rabbeinu is being appointed the head of all Klal Yisrael, he'll be happy. So Chazal teach us in the Zechus, the merit that he saw him and was happy, he was Zochah for Urim Tumim. So how does one thing lead to the other? When I was saying the bracha b'smach libo, so why was it Urim? Why did he get Urim v'Tumim? So why Taka did he get the Urim v'Tumim? Bracha b'smach libo. So what I remember from the piece was, as I speak to you now, is he was saying that it was since he was going to be happy, so he's zocher for the Urim v'Tumim, right? So it means he wasn't zocher to be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, but in some ways, the Urim v'Tumim is superior to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the Urim v'Tumim, like Gemara says here, the Urim v'Tumim, the Nebuah, be chozer. The Urim v'Tumim is never chozer. So in some ways, so because he was Racha v'Samach Libo, so it was like he got like a reward in some ways, like superior to Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's take a look back to Gemara. So he says, Laman Nikrashvan Urim v'Tumim. Now, why are they called Urim v'Tumim? Urim Shemirana Debrayim, that the Shemirana Debrayim, they elucidate their words. In other words, like they clearly say what the intention is. Tumim Shemashumim Debrayim, that it's going to happen. That's where the Gemara takes it. Now, the question is, what are the Urim and what are the Tumim? So, I think according to some of Farshim, the Tumim, again, the way Rashi, I think, understands it, that in the folds of the Eifod was a Shema from Hashem. I think Ramban brings it down also in his Derish Chumash. So that's the Tumim that it helps, like the battery. I think Rav Lerner may have said, I didn't hear it directly from him, but I remember Fred Lewis, the Corona, saying someone like that, and I think you may have heard it from Rav Lerner. So it's like the battery. But then others want to say that Urim v'Tumim are just the stones themselves are called Urim v'Tumim. And that's on the escutcheon for Yale University, Urim v'Tumim. Let's see back on the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Bim Tomar, B'Givat Binyamim, Neymar Lo Hishlinu. So how come it didn't work by Givat Binyamim? That means by Pilagesh B'Givah, if you remember at the end of Sefer Shoftim, so there was a terrible incident with, a man, he goes through with this woman, and then he ends up having relations with her, and she dies. And it was such a chaval, so he was traveling through. He took lodging, and the people they raped her, and then she died, and they chopped up the body, sent it to the Klal Yisrael. There's a tremendous war against the Shev Binyamin. So it says three times they asked what Hashem about what to do, and Hashem says, go to war, and then they get defeated, third time, then they're successful. So he says, how come it didn't work? Like, in other words, he said, like, they get the green light to go to war, and they get defeated. The Gemara says, so how come it wasn't reliable? They didn't ask whether they'd be victorious or not. So I didn't ask, so then they got defeated. But at the end, when they asked, will we be successful? Then everything was clear. Then the question was pounded, should I continue going to war? Or should I not? And the way they understand it means, or will I not be successful? In which case, I'm not going to go to war. So Hashem says, go, and I'll give them in your hands, and that's why it was successful. Now, Ketzad Naaseh, what are the components? How does the Urim v'Tumim actually work? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Boltot. Rabbi Yochanan says Boltot, that again, they have the Shemot of the Shvatim on the different stones, or 12 stones on the Koshen. And they have the names of each Shevet on the stones. So Rabbi Yochanan says boltot, that the letters would like protrude out. Now there's a question among the Mefarshim, does it mean actually protrude out, or does it mean that the Kohen Gadol looked at it and in his mind's eye he saw letters protruding out? So some Mefarshim want to say like nothing was really physically protruding out, it's just the Kohen Gadol looks at it and he sees letters protruding out. And the letter is going to spell the message. Then it says, Reish Lakish Amar Mitztarfot. Like it says Mitztarfot, and they come together. So it's not necessarily a machloket. It could be that they both agree. It was boltot, but then I don't know how the letters fit together. And then mitzvot. Then the Kohen Gadol is able to look at it, and with his ruach hakodesh, he's able to determine the order of letters and get the message. So he says, Let's take a look. So the Gemara says, "Bahalok tibuhu tzadi." But in all the names of the Shvatim, there's the letter tzadi. So let's say you want to say Alei Bahatzlach. How would you do that? It's not tzadi. So Amram Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Avram Yitzchak Yaakov tibcham. So the name Avram Yitzchak Yaakov was also written on the Choshen. Bahalok tib tech. But even with all of that, there's still no letter tech. Amram Bachav Bar Yaakov Shiftei Yishurin tibcham. So it says Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and the word Shiftei Yishurin. I have all the letters I need. Now, Meifei, now we ask a kasha on this from the following Brisa. If the Kohen doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh and the Shekhinah dwelling on him, we can't pose a question to him. Because David Melech propounded a question to Tzadok and he was able to get, that didn't say right. Tzadok Ba'altalo, one second. Right. He says, right. So he was able to have the question to Tzadok and got the answer. Eviatar v'lo'altalo. It didn't work with Eviatar. Shneemar v'yal Eviatar atom kol amigomer. That Eviatar like left. In other words, Eviatar was accompanying David HaMelech. Eviatar had the eight begotten. He was propounding questions to Eviatar and got answers. Then he propounded questions to Eviatar. He didn't get the answers. So he dismissed Eviatar and he got the dope. He going get this to be the Kohen to do it. So the point being, though, why do you need the Ruach Kodesh and Shekhinah? Here we said that they're bold totem and starfoat. So the Gemara says, "You who Messiah Badayu." In other words, it's like one thing without the other, it doesn't work. It's got to be both together. You need the Choshen, you need the Begadim, you need somebody who's got Ruach Kodesh, but together the Sakhapol works. Now, there's a piece that they all quote from the Bra, which I think I did, or when we did Bracho, but they remember, so Chana comes to Eli HaKohen and Eli HaKohen says Hasiri Yenech Me'alayach. In other words, this is Lama Tishtakarin, like how much, like what are you hitting the bottle for, you know? And then Chana says he says like Lo Ruach HaKodesh Shara Lacha, like the Ruach HaKodesh does not dwell in you, whatever. So he says, "Inshak Sharuach Anokam," like a woman, I'm going through difficulty. So the Gra said that Eli HaKohen looked at the Choshen and he saw four letters light up, Tav Shin Reish Hei. So he interpreted the Shikora, she's drunk. So that's the answer. But really, the answer was really Kisara, like she's like Kisara. You know, you have to know how to read letters in the right order. She's barren, like Sarah. So that's what Chana was saying, that you don't have Ruach HaKodesh. So, well, you're not reading the Koshen in the correct way. Yeah, that's another version, right? There's two versions, so either Kisara or Kishera. I don't know if he's corrupt, but Eli HaKohen. His sons, Tafi and Pinchas, were, yeah. I don't know the answer to this. Okay, let's take a look further in the Gemara. Or let me finish up the parak, then we'll take some questions, then we'll go on. So now, so the Gemara says, "Ain sholin el melech." So not everybody could go and answer questions. The Choshen, you have to be like a melech, or what else did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said on Ayin Aleph, right? Where is Ayin Aleph? So the Mishnah said, Ula'av Beitin, Ula'misha Tzibur Tzareko. A melech, the head of the Bezdin, the head of the Sanhedrin, or somebody that the Tzibur needs. If you want, we have lots of Gemara's guests. Why don't you take one over there in the corner? I don't care, it's 2 minutes. Take a Gemara. Okay, now. All right. So the Gemara says, right over there in the corner, right behind Fowl on the shelf. Okay? So the Yoma. So the Gemara says, Ein Sholin El Melech, in the corner, you have it. Okay. Ein Sholin El Melech, Benani Milay. So underneath your tefillin on the right. Okay, right there. Okay. The Ein Sholin El Melech, Benani Milay, we know this. So I'm going to go with the Amar Krab, Lothnei Lothar Kwenya Amod, Yishal Lo B'Mishpat Arim go there. It says, Hu V'chol Ha'am Asher Ito. In other words, this is actually coming up, not this week's Parsha Shavua, but next week in Parsha Pinchas, when Ayin Gimel Medbeis, page 146. Okay? So he says, that he will stand before Elazar Cohen and ask, like, from the Urim Tumim, who Zemela? He, Yahushua. Like, Yahushua. Okay, 146, two lines from the end of the paragraph. Okay, who Zemela? Who refers to the Melech? Means Yahushua has a din of a Melech. He says, B'chol B'nai Yisrael Yito, Zemeshuach Melchama. Like, all Paisel means like the Mishko Ben Israel Tov Latit Melchama Acharav, the one who's like going to be charging all the troops. He says, so that would be Mishko Melchama. B'chol Ha'eda to Sanhedrin. Whenever it says Eda, so it means the Sanhedrin. And so, so it means like the head of the Sanhedrin can ask. So it means if it's something like a vital, you know, interest to the whole Tzibur, the question will be posed to it. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far in the Daf? Everybody good? Anyone in the cyber world, anyone want
to
ask?
So the Melech, Sanhedrin, and the coin, the war coin, go to the coin Gadol if they have a question, and the coin Gadol asks them to him?
Wait, say again. If the Melech has a question, he asks the coin Gadol, and then the coin Gadol would look at the Choshen and get the answer.
Same thing with the Sanhedrin and the
right. Same thing with the Sanhedrin and the Meshuach Melchama. The same thing. Okay.
So the only person that can communicate with the Orim Tumim is the Kohen Gadol.
Well, actually, the Meshuach Melchama. See, the Meshuach Melchama could be the one propounding the question. The Meshuach Melchama could also be the one responding to the question. So the Meshuach Melchama is wearing the Begadim, but it's not only the Kohen Gadol. Like you see, and again, the Mefarshim talk about this. Like with David HaMelech, he has Eviatar Kohen and Tzadok Kohen, and they were apparently wearing a Koshen. And Mefarshim asked like this. You see, at the same time that Shaul, he asked the question, and he says, "Velo Anani, Hashem didn't answer me." And so they have Shaul's here and David HaMelech there, and he wants to know whether it's good war with the Plishtim. And so how could Shaul be asking with Hashem Luram Tumim David? So one answer is that Shaul sent the message to David. He should pose the question, but others want to say that like there's more than one Choshen. So I don't know what to say with this. In other words, so it doesn't seem like it's only the Kohen Gadol. Certainly Meshuach Melchama could wear it, but in the time of David and Melech, it seems like Sadoka Kohen and Eviatar Kohen that they were wearing the big day kuna. All right.
Thank you. Right.
Okay, I'm moving on. Hadron Lach Balo Kohen Gadol. Okay, we're up to the last parak in Yoma. And this is the real halach lemaisa one. Okay, let's take a look at the Mishnah. Yom Kippur Masur Bakhilu B'Shtiyah Rokhitam Siyich Winala Sandal Tash B'Shmitah. So on Yom Kippur, we know there are five inuim, five afflictions that you're obligated to observe. Now, Achil and Shtiyah count as one. So eating and drinking, one. Rokhitam bathing, you're not allowed to do that. B'Siyichah is anointing. Inala Sandal wearing a leather shoe. Tash B'Shmitah, intimate relations. Now, according to most Mefarshim, only Achil and Shtiyah is Daraisa. The other ones are Drabanan. But according to the Rambam, the other ones are also Daraisa. But it means the Chacham, we'll see in the Gemara, the Chachamim are given Koach to define their contours. And it's similar to Melachat Chol HaMoed. There's a Machloket among Mefarshim, what's the din by Melachat Chol HaMoed? So some want to say that it's totally Drabanan, all the dinim on Melachat Chol HaMoed. Some say so Daraisa, but it was given Koach to the Chachamim to define, what exactly is allowed or not. So now, the Melech can wash his face. The Melech has to always look great, beautiful. He says, the Hakala is the woman who just got married and married in the last 30 days. She can wash her face. And a Chaya is a woman who just gave birth in the last 30 days. She can wear shoes. It's considered to be like if the cold floor a little bit be harmful to her. So all those coolers, the last two lines, the Melech Kala and the Chaya, that's all from the Tana Reb Blazer. Then the Chachamim Oshrim, the Chachamim Aser, so they don't have any coolers, the Chachamim. Ha'ochel kikotebet agasa kamoa l'chagar nita. Now if a person eats the size of a fat date, together with the date and the pit, v'ashotam l'lugmav, or if a person drinks, like l'lugmav is like his cheekfuls, there's going to come out like really like one cheek. So he's chayav. Then that's the chi of kare. So if he does have amazed, he violates Yom Kippur on a deraisa level. He says, "Kol oklim itzarfin lekotevet." All different foods joined together for the shear of kotevet agasa. "Kol mashkim itzarfin lomlugav," and all the mashkim joined together for lomlugav. "Oklim b'shota im itzarfin." If a person eats and drinks, it's not mitzarif. So when we talk about mitzarif, it means that like you have to be mitzarif. Right, with the food, we discussed it before. So Kedilakhila's pras is the amount of time it takes to eat like half a loaf of bread, and it's three or four beitim, and it's somewhere between, I don't know, like 3 and 9 minutes, or 2 and 11 minutes, but there's different shiurim. So sometimes when a person has to, you know, eat on Yom Kippur, so we tell them to eat less than the shiur and then wait more than that period of time. So you'd have like a small amount of food and then say, wait another, let's say 15 minutes, then you know it's past the shiur to the pras. And then, you know, they're definitely not violating on a Torah level that the person needs to do. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on the Mishnah? Everybody good? Everybody's very quiet here tonight. Okay, let's keep further. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara focuses on the first line. Yom Kippur is asur b'achil shtiyah. Yom Kippur is prohibited b'achil shtiyah. The Gemara says, asur anosh karet. What do you mean asur? It's a chiv karet, which means chayev. In other words, if you eat it, you're chayev. So Amar Rabbi Ila, I skipped something. What? I didn't skip anything. I just read that.
No, you're good.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Ila became Rabbi Yirmiyah lo nitzricha l'chatzi shir. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says here the Tana is alluding to chatzi shir. In other words, if a person eats less than the shir, so that's asur. So it means it's asur on a deraisa level. So it means I'm chayv kareid if I eat shir. If I eat less than the shir, I'm not chayv kareid, but I still violated a prohibition on a Torah level. So the Gemara says, "Anichum on the bar chatzis shir asur min haTorah." That works well according to the opinion. We'll see it's Rabbi Yochanan who holds that chatzis shir is asur min haTorah. So if the Torah tells me, let's say I can't eat chazer, so I can't eat chazer kizayit. Let's say I eat half kizayit of chazer, so I'm violating the Torah, but I'm just not chayv malchut. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan will learn. El lamanda mar chatzis shir mutar min haTorah ma'ichum emor. But according to the opinion that holds that chatzis shir is permissible min haTorah, how will he explain the Mishnah? In other words, it says asur, but it's mutar min haTorah. So he says, so did itmar, it was stated, chatzis shir, Rabbi Yochanan mar asur min haTorah. Rabbi Yochanan says, chatzis shir is prohibited on the Torah level. Mishlak shemar mutar min haTorah. Mishlak says it's mutar min haTorah. So the Gemara says, hanichlu Rabbi Yochanan le Mishlak shemar yichlu neymar. So within Rabbi Yochanan we're good. So the Mishnah makes sense, asur, even chatzis shir showing. But what about Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara says, motor Mishlak kisha asur min rabbanan. That Reish Lakish, even though he holds that Chatzis Shir is mutarim in a Torah, Reish Lakish agrees it's prohibited on a Drabanan level. So Reish Lakish will understand the Mishnah, Asur, it's Asur on a Drabanan level to have less than the Shir. So then we're good with that. Now the Gemara says, Ihaki l'nechayv leik korban shvua. Now, if this is all true, that everybody agrees that Chatzis Shir is prohibited in a Torah, Rabbi Yochanan on a Torah level, Reish Lakish on a Drabanan level, so a person, we'll see in a minute, should not be chayev a korban shvua for eating less than the shir. We'll see in a minute. Like, let's say if a person makes a shvua and he violates the shvua, he has to bring a korban. But let's say he made the shvua is to not eat chazer. So then he's mushva ba'omei mehar sinai. In other words, I can't make one shvua. In other words, in Yisra chal Yisur. So I guess they assume in Yisra chal Yisur. So we'll see in a minute. Let's take a look. So the Gemara says, so now this should be alama. I don't know why it's an al here. It should be a hey. It's normally alama tanan. How can we learn in the Mishnah? Now this Mishnah is the Sech Shua. Shua shlo ochal. Let's say a person took a shua. He's not going to eat food today. Bachal nevela treifu shkatzim ramasim chayev. And he ate treifus. So he violated the shua, but he's eating treifus, which is prohibited otherwise. Rav Shim Poter. We're also taking this mission. We ask the following question. Leave aside the sugi we just did. Let's just focus on this right now. And so leave about the chatzis shir. We'll just focus on the din of shua. So why is he chayev for violating the shua? Mushbubo may be har sinai. He's already mushbubo may har sinai. So I know, I'm just repeating myself. So if the Torah says don't eat chazer, and the person takes shua, he's not going to eat today, and he eats chazer, so, but ain't Easter call Easter? One Easter can't be called another Easter. So, why should I be chayev a korban shua when I was already prohibited? So, Rav and Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan to Amri, because Varma Mutar and Varma Asurim. So, Rav and Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan all say it's like an Easter call, not eating. Like, it is an Easter call. In other words, in the shua, the person said he wasn't going to eat, let's say, any food, or he said, I'm not going to eat chazer, I'm not going to eat chicken today, something like that. So then he eats the chazer, but they included things that were not prohibited from the Torah. So with an Easter kolel, Easter is chal Easter. That's the way we could say it. But according to Reb Shimon will be cholik with that. That's one way we can understand it. And we're fine with that part. So Reb Yochanan, that's what Reb Yochanan understands the Mishnah. Reish Lakish Amar, now we're focusing on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish Amar, Yitamotze Yilmafarish Chatzit Shir. Now, again, leave out our sugya. Let's just focus on Shavuos. So Reish Lakish Amar, Yitamotze Yilmafarish Chatzit Shir, believe it, Rabbanim. Reish Lakish says the only way he could be Chayev is if he specified in the Shvua that he was also undertaking not to eat even the Chatzit Shir. Now, the Chachamim say that, when a person takes a shrua, according to the Chachamim, they're misak shrua, not our Chachamim. The Chachamim say misak shrua, if a person takes a shrua, he's not going to eat something, he's only offering the shear. So if a person took a shrua and he specified, I'm not going to even eat a chatzit shear, so then he'll be chayav, then he'll be chayav of the korban. Because otherwise, in other words, and we'll connect this with our Gemara in a minute. Because otherwise, I'm cutting new ground. I'm making a shrua, the Torah only says, I can't eat a kazayas, but the person says, I'm not even going to eat half a kazayas or a quarter kazayas, even less than a shear. Or, or he took the shvu stam, but leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Or he took the shvu stam, but the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Akiva. The maradam osir atzal v'choshu. Rabbi Akiva says, when a person takes shvua, he means to asir even the smallest amount. Now, so this Mishnah by itself, we understand. Happy if I have a korban shvu, your mishnah vol maybe har Sinai. So if you're either specifying in the shvua that I'm going to be five less this year, so only for this year, I'm specifying less this year. Or if I don't specify, but according to Rabbi Akiva, when I take the shvua, it means even a four shvu. Again, I'm cutting new ground. I understand it. Now, but the question is, according to Reish Lakish, and now Rabbi Yochanan had a different way to explain the mishnah, but focusing on Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, that he was prohibited on a Rabban level, meaning less than the Shia, and Korban Shua. So he is prohibited from having it. So why should he be chayav for violating it? The Chitema came into Itlay for a child Korban Shua. So maybe it's like this. Look, Reish Lakish says on a Torah level he could eat it. It's only a rabbinic level he's prohibited. So maybe that's why he's chayav for Korban Shua, because on a Torah level he was allowed to eat those items. But Hatzan, now he's going to prove that it doesn't make a difference. We learn in the Mishnah, Sefer Shua, line 4, Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, 74a, Batnan, Shura Eidut. Now, Shura Eidut is when a person goes to somebody and says, I want you to come testify to me, you know, what Shimon burned down my field, and I want you to come testify. He says, I don't know any testimony, I didn't see that. So I say, take a Shura, you don't know anything. So he takes a Shura. Then he admits that he lied under oath. Batnan, Shura Eidut, Eino no Heged, and then he has to bring a special korban. It only applies to people who otherwise could testify in court. Should I use the with us? We're always taking this mission. We ask the following question. What is he trying to exclude with this? So Rapap now means that there are other cases the mission mentions that are excluded, but other than what's in the mission, what's excluded. Rapap says the Tana is alluding the Melech wouldn't be five Shmuz Aedis. The Melech is Lomayid below. He can't testify. He says, Rabbi Akiva Yaakov Amar, let me uti b'sakei kuvya. Rabbi Yaakov says it comes to exclude a gambler, because a gambler is possible eidus. B'sakei b'kuvya b'drayz and b'sakasi. But on Torah level, a gambler could testify. Rabbanu hut pasul. The Chachamim said he's pasul. The lo kafay lalei shvua. So let's go slowly. So again, so here, even though he's pasul on a drabana level, nevertheless, he's excluded from the din of shuas ha'edus. He says, so the Gemara says, so he doesn't have to bring the korban for shuas ha'edus. So the Gemara says, shani hatam da'amar kroi in lo yagi v'hai labar hagadahu. He says that over there by shuas ha'edus, the Torah says in lo yagi. If he doesn't testify, he's fired. So anybody who can't testify for any reason is not included with that din of Shavuos Eidus. But in Abhinami, the answer we gave is good. We could say that Reish Lakish will say, in terms of the person violating the regular Shavua, not Shavuos Eidus, the regular Shavua, say in Abhinami, the Torah level was permissible, Rabbanim prohibited it, but in Abhinami, he's chayav a korban for that, even though it's prohibited on the Rabbanim level. That's what we're going to say with that. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did? Okay, now 1 minute. Let me just.
So, you get correct, and all the others not because.
Right. Well, except no. We said according to most Rishonim the Rabbanan, according to the Rambam, they're also Duraisa, right?
No. So I said Afilashkia is correct.
Right.
Rest is...
Yeah, but it might not be Durabana. In other words, it might be Duraisa, but the Chamim are delineating the contours of it. But still, you wouldn't get Kari for it. Okay, now, let's just see what we have over here. Let me just do a... Okay, I'll do 2 minutes with this piece, and then it'll be it. Now, this is from the Daphne Digest. Now, the Gemara derives the guidelines for the tone of one's voice when questioning the Rumetumim from the Tefillah recited by Chana. The Gemara in Brachot also derives from Chana's Tefillah that one should not recite the Amid in a loud voice. The definition of a loud voice, however, is subject to debate. Shulchan Aruch in one place writes that a person should hear his tefillah, thus implying that one only needs to assure that others cannot hear the tefillah. In a second place, he cites the Zohar and implies one should not even be able to hear his own tefillah. Now, P's Zohar, when a person daven, he shouldn't even hear his own voice. That's how P's Zohar. So he says, the Sefer B'chor Shor demonstrates from our Gemara that it's acceptable even for others to be able to, even for others to hear the person's tefillah, as long as not loud enough for all the surrounding people to hear. The proof is that both asking the Urim Tumim and tefillah derived from the tefillah of Chana, since the person posing the question to Urim Tumim spoke loud enough for the wearer of the Urim Tumim to hear, it must be that for tefillah as well, it is acceptable for those nearby to hear the tefillah. That's the way that the B'chor Shor wants to say, but I see that's the case. So the Gaon Chida rejects this proof and asserts that the two cases, tefillah and asking question of the Urim Tumim, are not similar. Since the one asking the Urim Tumim was speaking to the wearer, he had to speak in a voice loud enough to be heard. When speaking to Hashem in tefillah, there's no need to speak loudly since Hashem hears even silent prayers. That's what Chazal say. So the Mishnah rules that when reciting the Amidah, one's voice should be loud enough for the person to hear himself, not loud enough for others to be able to hear. If, however, one was not loud enough to hear his own tefillah, he still fulfills the mitzvah. Okay, that's it for tonight. Let me end the recording. Wait, please, wait.